Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we'll be discussing the role of local newspapers in creating community and changes at the Daily Astorian. In the studio, I have Carrie Borgen. Carrie is the new EO Media Group, North Coast Operations Group Publisher and Revenue Director. That's quite a title, Carrie.
Quite a title.
Well, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I also have Jim Van Nostrand. He is the new Daily Astorian Editor. He was part of a team that won a Pulitzer Prize. And our own Joan Herman interviewed him, did a great interview with him in November, which is a podcast online that you can listen to. Good morning, Jim.
Thank you. Glad to be here again.
Well, when I noticed changes in my paper, which I love, I can't wait to get home and get that paper in my hands and find out what's going on. I said, wow, there are some changes happening. We need to talk about those changes. But before we talk about the Daily Astorian and the other papers EO Media Group owns as well, I would love for the listening audience to learn a little bit about each of you. So, Carrie, please tell the listening audience about yourself. Hey.
Well, I am not necessarily an Oregonian native, although my family has roots in eastern Oregon that go back five generations. But I was a Marine Corps brat, something Jim can probably relate to, as you'll hear later. But went away, as many small town people do, did not intend to come back to small towns, ended up back in Baker City and became the publisher at the Baker City Herald after a long tour in Missoula, Twin Falls, Boise, Sacramento, and other newspapers, and then became group publisher for a family-owned company, Western Communications. So last was group publisher for Baker City and La Grande.
So you've always been, it sounds like, in the news business, so to speak.
Always in the news business. Started as an intern at the Daily Missoulian.
And so you grew up in Eastern Oregon?
I did grow up in Eastern Oregon.
Which part of Eastern Oregon?
Baker City.
You grew up in Baker City and then went back to, and there's such a renaissance going on in Baker City right now.
Just as there is in Astoria.
Indeed, that
Very
is so true.
Like
yes, yes. And so now you have chosen to come back to this, to a small town lifestyle, which many people are realizing is perhaps a saner way to live.
We're very excited to be in Astoria. My husband and I have always wanted to live on the Oregon coast, and this was an opportunity to do a job that I loved in a place that is truly spectacular. I think North Coast residents should be very proud of where they live.
Indeed. Well, you and Jim are now going to be locals, so we're fortunate with that. And Jim, please tell the listening audience a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a Washington native. I was actually born at Hanford. The joke is that I glow in the dark. My father was in the Army, an Army carpenter helping build many of the buildings at Hanford in the 50s. I spent part of my early career in Oregon and Lebanon. 30 years later, I've been to Pennsylvania, to California, to Washington, D.C., back to Washington State, and now to the Astorian. Part of that, I was my former Army officer. I was a captain, including in the Oregon Army National Guard. I used to bring my company down here to Camp Rialia back in the day. So I've always known about Astoria and known I've always wanted to live here. And recently, the opportunity came up. I started in August, the day of the eclipse. So I hope that's a good omen.
Right. Okay. So you started in August, and then in November, you were promoted to editor.
Yes, I was.
Okay.
That was part of a management reorganization at the newspaper. For those of you who haven't heard about it, Steve Forrester was editor and publisher for 30 years. His successor, David Perro, was also editor and publisher. At most American newspapers, those are two different jobs. So when Carrie and I came in, those were split. Carrie is now the publisher. She runs the paper. She's responsible for all of its operations. I report to her as the editor. I run the newsroom, and I'm also responsible for the editorial page.
That's very helpful because I think a lot of people want to know, how are small town papers structured and how are they different from larger papers? Maybe we could do a little bit of the history of EO Media, because EO Media, in addition to owning the Daily Astorian, also owns 10 other newspapers.
That is correct. It's a small family-owned company.
Steve Forrester's family.
Daily Astoria actually was founded in 1873, so has been in continuous operation. Started as the tri-weekly Astorian, later became the morning Astorian. And again, there were two papers in Astoria. The evening Astoria budget was a combination of the Astoria Evening Budget and the Morning Astorian, and that happened in 1930. In 1919, those papers were sold to East Oregonian Media, and that was a company that owned the Pendleton paper, the East Oregonian. So it's a long and storied history. This family has been involved with the Daily Astorian for nearly 100 years.
Yes, and Steve and Brenda, I know, are very engaged and committed to this community. They live here in Astoria. And Steve occasionally is still writing for the paper.
He does. He lets Carrie and I do our jobs. He's retired. But he still cares deeply and passionately about this community. And he continues to invest in it, you know, with the newspaper. The funny story I like to tell people is he went to India on vacation recently. He called me election night from India to ask how the ballot initiatives in Gearhart and Warrington turned out. So he is still around. He signs our paychecks, and we're glad to have him.
Well, he is definitely engaged, and I know he and Brenda were doing the opera enthusiast here, even on this station. So we're all connected, all of the KMUN, Daily Astorian. The title and role, you kind of talked a little bit about what you do and the role of an editor, and you have an editorial board. So when we're seeing the editorials that are written in the paper, that's something that you're writing, that's something that you're writing with your staff. How are those editorials written?
Well, that may be the biggest change you've seen lately is we redesigned our editorial page and we've revamped its operation. We now have an editorial board, consists of Carrie and I, as well as Steve, as well as Matt Winters at the Chinook Observer, as well as Patrick Webb, the former managing editor who still lives in the community. So we will get together, we'll talk about the issues of the day, what we should be talking about on the editorial page, and divvy up who's going to write which editorial. Editorials are still the consensus of the editorial board, but we'll take turns writing them. I might write one. Steve might write one occasionally. Matt will write one. Carrie will eventually end up writing some of them.
Maybe.
But the other change you've probably noticed is you see fewer national columnists on the page. And that's by design. My philosophy is that an editorial page should reflect its community and should have local voices on it. That's my push. That doesn't mean you won't see David Brooks or Paul Krugman on the editorial page. We still subscribe to that service. But I'd love to see letters and local guest columns every day that I can. We default to that. And by local guest columns, I'm talking well-written items on topics of local interest, up to 1,000 words, with the bio of the author. Not just an extended letter to the editor, but something that on a local topic that people care about. Some of the topics are pretty diverse. We've had one lately on toy trains. We've had it on the importance of reading and listening to varying points of view, all by local authors. If you're interested in writing one, you know, shoot me a note. The email address is editor@dailyastorian.com. Let me know what you like to write. Let's talk about it.
So the letters to the editor, which used to just be published on Fridays, are now being published
through the week.
Every day.
As many as we have, as they come in.
Okay.
So we'll wait until we've built enough up to run them. And so if we run them 5 days a week, that'd be great. Right now, we're running them 1 or 2 days a week.
Okay.
But usually before elections, election season, or when a hot topic comes up, you'll see a spike of letters. And we'll run all the local letters that we have room for that meet our criteria.
Excellent. And Carrie, I would love for you to address the health of newspapers. We talked a little bit before we went on the air here about small town papers and then the larger papers. And can you just kind of, what is the newspaper business like these days?
The information business is a challenge. I think there's been a number of challenges to TV, radio, newspaper, However, what we're finding is the metro papers are having more struggles than are the community papers. And so newspapers like the Daily Historian that are intensely local focus on what's important to our communities, does advocacy and accountability journalism, are actually outperforming their bigger neighbors. And so we're proud to be a tradition of doing the advocacy, accountability journalism, speaking for local people, having local people speak through the paper. And it's actually, the business is actually healthy for community newspapers.
Well, I had heard, though, Jim, did you want to say something?
And I would add to that that in this era of the internet, we actually have more readers than we've ever had before. You know, that we, before the internet, we could only reach those folks who were subscribed to us in print. We now reach a regional and worldwide audience. We have many people who own homes here but don't live here. We have sort of a split audience. And so that's an opportunity for us. Also, the internet, the web, offer opportunities for storytelling that we never had before. Video, photo galleries, podcasts, other storytelling tools we never had. So if you're a young journalist, it's an exciting time to be in the business.
Yes, and that I was going to ask you about the digital versus paper, and then I mentioned that I'd heard something about Canada and paper supplies tightening because there aren't as many paper mills in the United States anymore.
That's true. As some of our metro papers have faltered, the print circulation has declined. There have been fewer paper mills in the United States. So there's been a move to put tariffs on paper from Canada, which would increase the price of paper. It's a reality we all live in. It's just a different business environment.
However, the printed paper is not going away.
Printed paper is not going away. The EO Media Group invested in a web press update here in 2010. 2011 invested in computer to plate technology. And so we actually print not only the Daily Historian 5 days a week, we print 6 other weekly newspapers, 3 other twice a week or twice a month newspapers, and a monthly newspaper. So actually at your Daily Historian plant, we are printing quite a number of community newspapers.
And so the fact that you have a healthy printing business makes the Daily Historian less vulnerable to other papers who have farmed it out.
That's true.
And I worked for a newspaper at my last stop that had shut down its press, laid off its entire printing operation, and outsourced that. You know, it was a huge psychological, you know, demoralizing blow to the staff. And I'm happy to be in a place where we've invested in our printing plant, so that business is not going away soon. We're pretty strong here.
And it also means you are hiring, you have more people employed.
We do. We actually have 41 full-time employees. And we have another 22 independent contractors that work with us to deliver the paper. And so we've got a pretty large employment base. We're a big employer in Astoria and part of the community. Those people that work for us live here, buy houses here, buy groceries here, have kids in school here. That makes us invested in the community as well.
Well, I think it's great that you have digital and you have the printed paper, because I'm one of those people, like Joan is, that we like to have our cup of tea and read the paper somewhere away from a computer screen. However, as you point out, Jim, that's true that you have to in today's world. You've got to embrace digital.
And our philosophy is digital first. We're going to break news when it happens on our website. We're going to reach readers through an app, through their smartphones, or in the paper, however they prefer to get it. But I think people who predict the demise of printed newspapers underestimate the number of people who actually rely on a printed newspaper for all of their news. I've talked to a lot of people who've called me over the years saying, I really don't, not web savvy, I don't have the internet. Please put this back in the newspaper, sort of thing.
And how are you finding out what is newsworthy in the community? I mean, how does the news come to, I mean, how do you find the news? What is the news? How do you make that determination?
Well, we have a very talented young staff of writers who cover their beats pretty well. So, you know, they have their sources in the community who tell them things. You know, they investigate, they follow up on things as well. But you have to remember that Carrie and I only came here recently. I've been here since August. She's been here since December. We don't have the 30 years in the community that Steve did. We don't have those deep sources. So we actually would like to ask people to tell us when they think something should be in the paper. Don't assume that we know it. Call us, email us. You know, we'll assign a reporter to check out those tips and get it in the paper.
That is really important information. So if you want to engage more with your local newspaper, and as a subscriber, I feel good about having a subscription because I know that that's going to keep my paper available to me in my community. And now I know that if I hear something that I think would be newsworthy, I can say, hey, do you all know about this? And that's something that all of you can do. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, we're talking about healthy newspapers. We're talking about the role of local newspapers in creating community, especially small town newspapers. And there have been a lot of changes at the Daily Historian. We've been talking about that. My guests today are Carrie Borgen. Carrie is the new EO Media Group, North Coast Operations Group Publisher and Revenue Director. And Jim Van Nostrand is the new Daily Historian Editor. And we also talked about the fact that you came here, both of you, from illustrious careers because the Daily A has a good reputation and because you wanted to live in a small town community at the end of your career. Not the end, this was the, let's say, the final chapter maybe or something.
That's true. It's, again, a lovely place to live, but the Daily A has got a great reputation for good journalism. It's a family-owned company that has invested in its printing plant. It's invested in its people. And it was a very attractive place, not only to come, but to come to work and to finish working on community journalism. Jim and I are both huge community journalism advocates.
And like Carrie, I wanted to come and work here. I'd always known about Astoria and the Daily Astorian newspaper. I think I mentioned earlier in the interview, I spent part of my early career in Lebanon, Oregon. At the time, I thought I'd like to come and work here as a reporter. 30 years later, I'm coming back as the editor. It's funny how these things come around.
Well, I am delighted to see that we have people who are coming and putting down roots in the community and staying and investing, like Chris Breitmeyer from Classic Community College. This isn't a stepping stone for him. People are realizing that find your place, put your roots down, and make a difference, make a positive difference there.
I would like to add that I have about 900 Facebook friends. And most of those are journalists I've worked with at one stop or another. And when I announced on Facebook that I was coming here, about half of them chimed in and said, we're jealous.
Yes, yes, indeed. And let's talk about the climate of news today. Like, how do people know what is news, fake news, real news? And how do we know what's relevant, what's true?
Well, part of what we do is professional journalism that's professionally created. It's vetted. It's checked out. Jim and his team have all been trained. They're trained journalists. We can get a news tip, and it may come from Facebook, but what we are able to do is then check it out, source it, find other voices to add to it, find background to add to it. It's important to remember you can get your news from a lot of different sources, but fake news, real news, it's all about how professionally created and vetted that news is.
Yes, and there's an old saying in the business, if your mother says she loves you, check it out. Well, you know, which it sounds trite, but it's got a nugget of truth to that, in that you need to verify news to ensure that it's truthfulness before you publish it. I mean, it sounds so basic, but many news organizations don't hold themselves to that standard. We do. We have some, you know, core bedrock values here of service to the community, local voices, and letting people knowing what's going on in our community. Yes, you'll find wire news in our newspaper. We think we should at least tell people what's going on in the rest of the world, but our focus is local.
And that is where people, I mean, I think, again, people are overwhelmed by too much information. I certainly am overwhelmed. And so then I think, well, how can I make a difference? So I think it is that, you know, think globally, act locally. Again, that's the thing. If you can do make a difference in your local community. And the paper, the newspaper helps us do that. The other newspapers that EO Media Group publishes are the other than Pendleton, which is published
daily.
6 days? Yeah, daily. Mm-hmm. The other ones are all, they're all in Oregon and Washington. So this is a Northwest focus.
That is correct. And we actually have a state bureau in Salem. And so we have a relationship that we share with OPB there, also with the Pamplin Group, and share reporters. So when we have questions about what the legislature is doing or what's happening in Salem that affects Clatsop County and North Coast residents, we actually can direct a reporter to check into that coverage. It's a really important relationship that we have.
Is there such a thing as objective journalism? I mean, can people really write and say, here are just the facts without putting any prejudice or their own perspective into that?
There are folks in the business who pride themselves on so-called advocacy journalism. Their philosophy is, I'm going to wear my point of view on my sleeve. You know where I'm coming from, so you can make your own judgments about what I say or do. I've never subscribed to that philosophy. I think we should be fair and balanced and present both sides of any issue. But there's no getting around that, that there's a large portion of the media that believes its duty is to push for one side or another, to actually advocate for causes. You know, that's not our philosophy. We want to bring you the news as objectively as we can.
And Carrie, so you have a responsibility for all of these newspapers. So let's talk a teeny bit more about your role, because when they say we know that you're now responsible for the 11 newspapers that EO Media Group publishes, but you're also revenue director. What does that mean?
I come from the advertising side of the business. And so traditional models would hold that advertising is about 70% of the operating revenue for a newspaper. Circulation is about 30%. Mm-hmm. So when we look at being able to fund what we do every day, we are not a nonprofit. We do have actually a business model that relies on advertising from our community business partners and also subscriptions from our community and from our readers. It's my job to make sure that our operations are run so that we are providing the best value for our audience. We now no longer say circulation. It's our audience. So that our content, as Jim's responsible for, reflects the values and the need of the community. And then our advertising solutions for our business partners reflect a really good ROI, that if you're a business partner who advertises with us or does design work with us, does commercial printing with us, that you're getting not only a good value, but that your cash register is going to ring and we're going to increase your business. So in a broad stroke, that's what I'm responsible for, creating audience and creating revenue solutions for our business partners.
And at most credible newspapers, including ours, there is a firewall, so to speak, between the advertising side of the business side, and the newsroom. You know, for example, we don't make our news decisions on what stories to run based on who's advertising in the paper. That's an important distinction. And that's why the job of editor is separate from publisher at most papers. Mm-hmm. She's responsible for the business side of the business and making sure the business is healthy as a whole, and then I get the news side of the operation running and report to her.
And at its heart, what that means is we maintain our credibility. It would be easy to go out and sell full page ads to people who got a full page story on the front page, but that's not the way we operate. That very quickly becomes apparent to readers that the news is purchased. It's not actually created independently and credible. It's a strange business model. However, it works. We maintain the credibility and the trustworthiness of our news so that our subscribers know that what they're reading in the paper is not based on who's got the biggest pocketbook.
And what happens when you all have, let's say there's a really thorny local issue and the editorial board has opposing viewpoints? How do you work that out?
We haven't had that problem yet. At most places, the publisher carries the final vote. Carrie hasn't had to override any of our decisions yet. We all think alike in most cases. For example, the recent Measure 101 editorial, we decided to endorse and vote yes on Measure 101. We had a discussion. What are the points for? What are the points against? Kerry, as a fiscal conservative, brought up that, you know, fiscal conservatives aren't happy with the way the Measure 101 came together. We included that viewpoint in the editorial. We said, here are the points for, and here are our misgivings about it. So usually, as you read an editorial, you'll sort of see the thinking that went into, or the sausage making that went into it.
Yes, indeed. And I know that the Daily A does have a great reputation because people, I think, again, they can't sort through everything. There's just too much out there. So they think, oh, I trust where the Daily A is coming from. So I'm going to say if they have done that research and they've said that there's a positive, they think this is more positive than negative, then, gosh, I don't have time to research it. I'm going to trust them.
Well, and hopefully, and Jim put together also a pro and a con opinion from either side of the 101 argument. So hopefully people will get a lot of information that they can look at in terms of what may weigh into their decision, not only our endorsement or non-endorsement, but also other people's opposing viewpoints.
We just have a few minutes left, and I'd like to give each of you a couple of minutes to just say anything else maybe we haven't covered, anything you'd like the listening audience to know about either the Daily Historian or News Today, or how they can be engaged with our healthy local newspaper.
I think overall, when we're looking at reflecting the values in a community and reflecting what a community would like to see in their newspaper, we can't do it alone. And so I would ask that if you've got ideas, Jim and I are both very open to listening to ideas on how to improve our report, how to improve what we do. I'm looking for ways to grow our audience. And so I can't do that without knowing from our audience what they'd like to see.
So more subscriptions certainly is a good thing because
more subscriptions is a great thing. It helps buy reporters, which is the content of the newspaper. And it also buys that, again, that professionally created news that's been checked out, vetted. It's been curated. And that's something that we rely on our subscribers for.
Jim, what about you?
When I was hired, the two broad mandates I came in with were A, to increase our digital audience and reach, and to do more so-called enterprise journalism. You know, and that's a challenge for us day to day. By enterprise journalism, we're talking deep dives into subjects that we all care about. You know, and the challenge in a daily newsroom is you have to fill out the paper each day. So your reporters have to write stories. And if they're writing two or three stories a day, it's hard for them to set aside time to research those deep issues. So we have to pick and choose our targets carefully about what issues are important to the community. What should we be taking deeper dives and looks into? And we're open to feedback from the community on that. Again, editor@dailyhistorian.com. Let us know.
Oh, that's excellent. So there are opportunities for all of us to engage with our local paper. It's not local paper versus community. It's local paper is community because we all can engage with it. Thank you so much for making time, Carrie Borgen. Thank you for coming into the studio today and sharing your thoughts. Welcome to the community. Excited that you're here.
Thank you, Donna.
And also, Jim, thank you so much for your perspective. And my gratitude to Joanne Ryder for being the engineer this morning. And also thanks to local and talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today Take a deep breath. It's healthy for body, mind, and spirit. And then, with gratitude, give yourself a loving and compassionate hug on the back. Hug or pat on the back. A hug and a pat. Give yourself both of those for doing the best you can, for being uniquely you, and for being here in this now moment, the only moment which exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.